Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies put up another dud against a team that was 2-12 coming into the forum before tonight's game. We'll break this game down because I think there's a lot to unpack here on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies.
Pull up jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Grizzlies played a game that I thought for sure they would win. Amari Sankofa and I talked about it on Tuesday's episode when we kind of just briefly previewed the game. Honestly, didn't even spend a whole lot of time on it just because I didn't think we needed to. I thought this would be a game for sure the Grizzlies would be able to get a win against because, to be quite honest, the team's just not good. Like, their players just are not good. They have a lot of injuries, so playing a lot of guys that don't normally get a lot of playing time. But, man, they went out and just put up a really bad game for this Grizzlies team. Overall, just bad effort. Just really bad. I mean, they honestly looked tired. Looked like they played three games in 5 nights or whatever it is. It's 6 nights or something like that. They played a lot of games lately, but they just, they did the same thing that they did against the Nuggets tonight against the Warriors. 16 points in the second quarter. They had 17 points in the second quarter against the Nuggets. 16 tonight. They let the Nuggets score, 44 against them on Sunday. They let the Golden State Warriors score 33 against them on Tuesday night. Just can't do it. I mean, you cannot get down to teams in the NBA by 15, 20 points. It's almost impossible to come back from. Honestly, like, it really is. Like, I know most Grizzlies fans remember that, 20-point comeback by the Clippers that one time, which was crazy. But, generally speaking, you get down by 15, 20 to a team in the NBA, and it is difficult to come back from, even against crappy teams like the Warriors are right now. You just can't do it. You just can't continue to go out and play that type of basketball with really no effort, no defense, and expect things to just happen. It didn't seem like they were overlooking the team. It just seemed like they just didn't have any pace, just didn't have any kind of pep in their step, if you will. I don't know if that's probably a cliche to say, but that's just what it looked like from watching the game. It was weird overall. The Grizzlies just didn't have it, and you can't go out and score 16 points. You're looking at the other quarters, they score 30 in the first quarter, Golden State scores 28, and you think, okay, that's totally fine. I mean, it looked pretty good in that first quarter. Nothing was just, everything was kind of clicking. They played great, and they come out in the second and just killed it. Same thing in the third. They come out in the third, they play really, really good in the third quarter. They actually get back in a little bit and get it down to 9 or 10 points at one point, and they have a chance to get it down even closer, maybe I think 6 points. Dylan Brooks misses a wide open three. I believe Brandon Clark misses a bunny, and then Kyle Anderson misses a free throw. I believe it's Kyle Anderson on that, and one misses the free throw. So, just a lot of really, really close opportunities that they just miss. And you make those situations, make those plays in those situations, and you're looking at a 3-5 point game, maybe, against the Golden State Warriors in the kind of winding down to the end of the third. And I think that's a totally different ball game. If you're going to the fourth quarter down 4 or down 3, that is a totally different ball game than going to the fourth quarter. I think they went into the fourth quarter down 12 or 11. So that's just a totally different mindset from the Golden State Warriors, who were having to come back out and play that against holding a 3-point lead instead of a 12-point lead. You play a lot freer in that situation when you don't really have a lot of pressure. It's the shots fall a little easier. The rim looks a little bigger. Like, that's just kind of how it happens. You just don't, you know, you don't really get into a situation where you have to, you feel like you're pressured to have to make a basket to, you know, keep the lead. And that's what they were able to do in the third quarter going into the fourth quarter. And the Grizzlies had, I think, 6 points in the middle of the fourth quarter. It was something just terrible. Ended up only scoring 23 in the fourth. They score 31 in the fourth. I mean, the game was pretty much over by then as well. But they just looked terrible in the fourth quarter, terrible in the second quarter. For whatever reason, it seems like they play hard for a little bit and then they just can't get over that hump. They can't get back into it. And again, you know, once you're into the second half of that game and you're down 15 going into the half or 20 or whatever it is in that first half of basketball, like it's takes so much effort just to get back to even. Like, just to get back to where you think you should be, it takes so much effort just to get there. And then you have to expend even more effort to get over the hump. And that's the ultimate issue when you get to a game where you're down 15 points. Like, you're already starting in a bad spot and you can't have quarters like that. Like, you have quarters like that, like you did at the Nuggets game, like you did tonight at the Golden State Warriors game, you got to get blown out. It really is that simple. And the schedule, it's not getting any easier. Like, this is going into the hardest part of the schedule. If you guys listened to the preview episodes, you know we went through all this whole schedule, game by game. And you're getting to December where you have one of the toughest schedules in the league. I mean, it's not getting any easier. And so, you know, I knew these games were going to happen. I mean, I think everybody knew these games were going to happen because they're young kids and it's understandable. They're a young team and they're frankly don't have a lot of like really good NBA players. So that's the other part of it. They just don't have a lot of players. Like, you put all these players on another team. I think Joe Mullenix, our friend of the pod, had this tweet. If you put all these guys on a different team, how many of those guys would play? I think he threw out the Philadelphia 76ers tonight on Twitter. How many of these guys would be playing right now on the 76ers? I can tell you how many. Three. Jaren Jackson Jr., Ja Morant, and Brandon Clark. That's it. Like, that's it. And to be honest with you, Jonas Valanciunas is a backup big on most teams. He's not even their starting big. And so, you know, you start off in a bad spot. And we all knew this was going to be like this because of the roster construction, because of everything else. But you got to figure something out. You can't continue to go out and put out second quarters like that or any quarters like that and expect to win in this league. It is difficult to win. And when they get down like this, they have shown they kind of give up and they kind of let it go. But it is difficult to win in this league. If you know you listen to this show, you know that's how I view these young guys. It is difficult to win. Learning how to win is a real thing in this league. It's something these guys will struggle with all season long. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. I want to talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. and what the Grizzlies should do to be able to get him more involved. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Listening on the go, if you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Welcome back to the show. The biggest thing for me tonight was Jaren Jackson Jr. Let's take a look at what Jaren Jackson Jr. was able to do. Here's his stat line from the night. 18 minutes, 3 for 7 from the field, 1 for 3 from 3-point range, 0 blocks, 0 assists, 0 rebounds, 6 fouls, 8 points. That's terrible. It's terrible. Jaren Jackson Jr. is the second best player on this team. Yes, I think Ja Morant is the best player on this team, and I think that people probably know that about me. But Jaren Jackson Jr. is the second best player on this team. Period. At halftime, Jaren Jackson Jr. had one shot attempt. One. There is no way you can go through a half and get Jaren Jackson Jr. one shot attempt with Jay Crowder having 8, Dylan Brooks having 10, Brandon Clark having 8. Jaren Jackson Jr. is too good to be the third or fourth or fifth option on this team. Find a way to get him involved. early. Find a way to get him involved often. That's the way to get Jaren Jackson Jr. equipped to be able to score every night and rebound every night. It is your job to get him involved. I don't know what that answer is. Honestly, I don't know what it looks like. I'm not the coach. That's not my job. But I do know for a fact that you cannot end the game with Jaren Jackson Jr. having 7 shots, Jay Crowder having 11 shots, Jonas Valanciunas having 7 shots, Dylan Brooks having 17 shots, Brandon Clark having 14 shots. So what, that makes him the 5th, 6th best option behind John Morant on this team? There's no way that Jaren Jackson Jr. is the 5th or 6th best option scoring-wise for this team. He is the 2nd best option every night. They have him problems with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Jonas Valanciunas playing together. Clearly, they can't figure it out. They can't get them both involved. They have Jonas Valanciunas in the pick and roll, which pushes Jaren Jackson Jr. out to the 3-point line. He kind of gets lost in translation in the offense. They'll dump it down to him pretty early in the game for a low post. Jaren doesn't feel it. Kicks it back out to John Morant. Never gets the ball back. John Morant's best offense is early offense, usually in the first 5 seconds when he gets really good position early against his defender. And then if he doesn't get the ball, he gets forgotten about. Like, Jaren Jackson Jr. has to get the ball, has to touch the ball on lots of possessions. Like, that doesn't mean he's going to shoot the ball. I don't mean that he's got to take all the shots. I just mean he needs to touch the ball. Whether that's in a pick and roll, whether that's on the wing, it doesn't matter. Jaren Jackson Jr. draws attention, just like Ja Morant draws attention. Ja Morant's in his 12th game of the year, and he has double teams all the time. Well, guess what happens when Ja Morant draws a double or Jaren Jackson Jr. draws a double? When two guys are guarding one player, it's pretty simple. There's a player open, and all you have to do is pass the ball around to find him. Like, I understand, like, I'm simplifying it, and it is more complicated than that. Don't get me wrong. It's more complicated than just what I'm saying. But in all reality, it is that simple. Like, Jaren Jackson Jr. touches the ball, he draws attention, and things open up. Like, things get easier. And you have to find a way to get Jaren Jackson Jr. involved early. You got to find a way to get him involved often so that he can be aggressive. Understand, because it feels like he just gets left out. He just gets forgotten about. And whether that's Jaren getting frustrated and not getting the ball and getting just frustrated by fouls and kind of getting himself out of the offense, I don't know what that is. But I feel like if you get Jaren Jackson Jr. more involved early and let him start to work, good things happen. When that third quarter, when they were making their run, there were 3 plays that stood out. Jaren Jackson Jr. got the ball inside, good position. He got allowed to work. End result was a bucket. Jaren Jackson Jr. was allowed to drive the basketball, got him involved again. The result, a foul. Jaren Jackson Jr. got to the line, hit 2 free throw shots. Jaren Jackson Jr. was involved by putting him in a spot on the perimeter that works for him, shoots a 3-point shot, makes it. Those are the 3 most important baskets that he made, 3 most important plays that he made. And guess what? It was important and got the Grizzlies back in it. Like, good things happen when you involve your 2nd best player. Like, good things happen. I don't know how else to explain that. And it's just frustrating to see that happen over and over again. And I think Taylor Jenkins and the staff has got to figure out how to get Jaren and Ja playing good together at the same time. And I think that starts with maybe putting Jaren and Ja on the pick and roll together. But the problem, if you do that, what do you do with Jonas Valanciunas? Because you put him off to the outside, you put him on the perimeter, because you gotta have space to work. So you put Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja on the pick and roll. That pushes Jonas Valanciunas out to the perimeter. Well, they're not going to guard Jonas all the way to the perimeter because he's not a 3-point threat like Jaren Jackson Jr. is. They're just going to sink into the kind of the paint area and have better help defense. So, and that's the ultimate issue with Jaren and Jonas playing together, is that Jonas is the better pick and roll player in that situation. Jaren's, because you put Jaren out to the outside on the perimeter, he can actually hit shots. He has to be respected. But you forget about Jaren while he's out on the perimeter. So it's kind of a catch-22. So it's definitely a difficult situation to be in, but they got to figure it out. They got to figure out how to play Jaren and Jonas together and make it work. Let's take one more quick break. We'll be back and finish up this podcast with the rest of the players that played tonight. Do you find yourself wanting a sports bet but have a lot of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on the top of a risk-free bet. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in all the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Welcome back to the show again. The Grizzlies lose to the Golden State Warriors, 114-95, and the sucky Golden State Warriors are now 3-12 instead of 2-13, thanks to the Grizzlies. Much needed time off, I guess. That was what the plan was for the game. But some other players, again, Ja Morant, we haven't really talked about him this show. I thought it was probably his worst game as a Grizzly, honestly. He looked like he was trying to do too much a lot of time. It looked like he was forcing things. There's a lot of times in the second half where he was just trying to make all the plays, you know, to get back in the game. And you just can't, you know, you're not going to get it all back in one play. You gotta have patience, and you gotta have, you know, the idea and mindset to just get one bucket at a time and be very smart, because when you're down that much, the worst thing you can do is turn the ball over and just dribble into, you know, offenses and defenses. I mean, you know, that is just the worst possible scenario you can have. And it just makes it worse. He also had a bigger guard in him than I think is usual. Alec Burks is not, there's no real true point guard that the Warriors ran out tonight. They had a bunch of different players bring the ball up at times. Draymond Green brought the ball up at times. Alec Burks was primarily Ja Morant's defender. Much bigger guy than Ja Morant, body-wise, height-wise. So I thought that was interesting that, you know, he couldn't really get a lot going against a bigger guard. So it's something for film for other teams for sure that he'll have to figure out. I mean, because there's going to be film on Ja Morant now. People are going to start to scheme for him, because if they know that Ja Morant's the best option the Grizzlies have, then they're just going to scheme for Ja Morant, put a bigger guard on if that's what it takes. Or we saw against maybe the Chicago Bulls, if blitzing the high pick and roll is what it takes, or whatever his weaknesses are, they're going to start doing that. And so same thing with the Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. Now there's film against Ja Morant, against a shooting guard, a bigger guard that he may struggle with. So that's going to happen as the season goes on, as his career goes on. So he's going to have to adjust for that and find different ways to be effective. Even wise on the floor, again, 35 minutes for Ja Morant, which I've been a big proponent of playing Ja Morant as much as possible. But in these games where you're down 15, and the idea if you want to rest Ja Morant and you want to limit his minutes, well, guess what? This is the best time to limit his minutes. Same thing in the Nuggets game. Like, just take him out of the game. Like, there's no reason for him to play in the fourth quarter. If you're like, the idea is you want to limit his minutes, well, limit his minutes in the games that don't matter. Like, if you actually have a legitimate shot to win in the next few games and you pull him out because you're limiting Ja Morant's minutes, guess what? That you could have saved him some minutes in this game. I don't know if that's a thing anymore. I haven't really heard anything about it, but after it was said, it was kind of gone, and he's played over 30 minutes since then, so I don't really know if that's still a thing or not. But if it is, these kind of games are the prime example of taking him out of the game when he needs it. Also, Jonas Valanciunas was terrible, 3-for-7 from the field. He also had 5 fouls. And Jaren Jackson Jr. also fouled out with 6 fouls. The bigs just did not play well tonight. Jaren didn't play well. I think Jaren didn't play well because he didn't have the opportunity to play well, to be quite honest. But defensively, Jonas and Jaren both didn't play well. Jonas was really frustrated, had a couple fouls back-to-back, just did not play well around the rim, did not rebound the ball well. They out-rebounded the Grizzlies 51-37. So, I mean, they had a huge lineup out there at times. I mean, they had Draymond Green, Pascal Robinson, and Cauley-Stein all out there with Burks as really the only guard. And so they're just a really, really big lineup for those guys and really out-rebounded the ball. Just killed the Grizzlies on the rebounding. So Jonas Valanciunas did not play good at all. He's still doing this weird thing where he sags super low into the paint, and the other team's wings are just getting literally walking into shots at the free throw line, elbow extended. That can't happen. Like, I don't know how else to say that. I've said it on 4, 5, 6 shows now that you just can't continue to let people get so far and deep into the paint and just kind of probe. And then once they get there, you're kind of out of luck because you keep backing up. And then they just either lob it to the player who's you're not guarding because you're trying to find something to do with this person in front of you, trying to guard them, or they take the shot. I mean, like, you just can't let them continue to probe that deep into the paint and just expect things are going to be better. Like, I just don't know how we continue to look at that. So that's going to have to change for sure for the Grizzlies to be able to win games. You know, it's just as simple as that. The Grizzlies ended up with 52 points in the paint, which is about average for them, which is great. But at the same time, a lot of that came at garbage minutes, so I wouldn't expect too much from those stats right there. Again, the Grizzlies lose to the Warriors 114-95. They take on the Lakers on Saturday. It's the first game the Grizzlies are going to debut that teal uniform, the new alternate court, the black court, which is awesome. The teal uniforms are so, so, so awesome. So that'll be great. So go down to the Forum on Saturday. It's going to be a fun game. Hopefully it's competitive, but the Lakers are like the best team in the league, 11-2. So, it's a good chance they're going to lose, but we said that about the Utah Jazz. So maybe that's a good game. Maybe, they play well and they get a win. Who knows? But either way, get down to the Forum on Saturday because the teal uniform is going to be on fire. That court's going to be awesome. It's going to look great on TV either way, no matter what. Make sure you go subscribe to the show, whatever podcast platform you have, so you don't miss a show every single day. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday. Be back with David Cobb from the Commercial Appeal on this week's Thursday episode.